morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, it is my pleasure to have as a guest Bruce Jones. Bruce has made quite a difference in Astoria since he and his family moved here in 2011. He was the mayor at one point. He is now the executive director of the Columbia River Maritime Museum. The museum has been going through multiple coordinated projects over the last couple of years, an expansion and the changes that are on the horizon. And actually, it's nearing completion, a lot of these things. So today we'll find out where we are in the projects, upcoming events, why they chose to do this. So thank you so much for being here, Bruce Jones.
Good morning, Donna. Pleasure to be here.
Well, before we start talking about Columbia River Maritime Museum, please tell the listening audience about yourself.
Well, I joined the United States Coast Guard in 1983 and served for 30 years on the East Coast, Great Coast, or Great Lakes, and the West. Let me start over. The Gulf Coast, the Great Lakes, and the East Coast, and made my first trip to the Pacific Northwest in 2011 with the Coast Guard, and finished up a 30-year career here as a helicopter pilot and the captain of the port and air station commanding officer here in Astoria. And when I retired from the Coast Guard in 2014, I went to work for the Columbia River Bar Pilots as a helicopter pilot, and also decided to run for city council and won city council seat in 2016, and then ran for mayor 2 years later. About the same time, was hired at the Maritime Museum as the deputy director when Dave Pearson, who many know, left, and have been the executive director for 3 years now.
Wow. Well, there are a lot of exciting changes going on in Astoria right now, and I'm sure many of those changes are welcomed, and probably some of them are a little concerning or sad for people who, you know, think there's so much change happening everywhere all the time now that, you know, they want to have something to hold on to. So maybe we should go back to the history, the mission, the purpose of Columbia River Maritime Museum, and then what precipitated this desire to expand over the years.
Well, our mission is to connect people to the maritime world and to our shared maritime heritage. And our current museum, as wonderful as it is, only scratches the surface. There's just so much to tell. There's so many stories about the maritime heritage of the Columbia River and Pacific Northwest region that we focus on. And we have two warehouses across the street, our collection storage full of artifacts, all of which represent stories that aren't being told. And when we had the opportunity to build a new building and take many of those stories out of storage and put them out there for our visitors, for the public, for the community, we were really excited to do so. So Mariners Hall is all about fulfilling our mission of connecting people to the maritime world and to our shared maritime heritage by taking a huge number of the wonderful artifacts that have been donated to the museum over the years and putting them on display in a context that's interesting, because it's really focused on the human element. And the reason we call Mariners Hall Mariners Hall instead of Boat Hall is because it's about the people and the stories about the people who built boats, who maintained boats, who worked on the boats, and the impact it had on the community.
So you started in 2024, you remodeled 11,000 square feet of the existing gallery space. You upgraded exhibits, and then you added two new indigenous exhibits. And what I find exciting about this new building, the Mariners Hall, which is over 24,500 square feet, is that it's not just an exhibition hall, but it's an education hall, and it's going to have the first dedicated classroom for children. And so do you want to talk a little bit about that, please?
Absolutely. Our education program is very important to the museum. We're very active both in the schools throughout our region and in the museum, but our educators have always had to move from place to place on campus, depending on what room is available on a given day. They've never had a dedicated classroom. And in Mariners Hall, we have let them design a purpose-built classroom for the first time. Students that come here on field trips will all go to that classroom. They'll have all their storage, their equipment stored there. It's designed as a classroom, everything from having the sinks and the drainage to do the shark dissections that are so popular. So we're really excited to be able to offer our educators an opportunity to more effectively and efficiently deliver those services to the kids that come to our come to the museum. And we also have next to the classroom a 2,400 square foot interactive STEM exhibit area. So these are science, technology, engineering, and math exhibits, hands-on stuff, propulsion, physics, sailing, you name it. It's an opportunity to build excitement among young people about some of these STEM subjects by putting it in a fun context. And we hope that we're creating future mariners and introducing young people to the science behind maritime industry, but also some of the opportunities that are out there. Our education department held our first ever middle school maritime career exploration day a few months ago. And we had about 90 kids from 6 different schools that came in. And we had maritime representatives from a towboat company, from the bar pilots, from the Mertz campus, a number of other maritime industries. And so it's all a part of our mission to connect people to the maritime world, and it really starts with the young people.
Let's talk just briefly about the history, the founding of the museum, how long it's been there, and then, you know, the changes that have happened over the years.
Yeah, so we were founded and we opened in 1962, founded by Rolf Klepp, who is a famous Astorian and illustrator. And we were across the street in what was then, you know, had been the USO Hall and had been City Hall and is now the Clatsop Heritage Museum. And we moved to our present location in 1982, had a major remodel in 2001, but we've been at our current location since 1982. And the Mariners Hall project would represent by far the most significant transformation and expansion of our campus since 1982.
So for those folks who are not familiar, and I mean, it's incredible to have a world-class museum like this in our backyard. I mean, it's just, you know, this is such a gem. So for those folks maybe who haven't visited in a while, what would people see now and then what will they see in the future? So let's talk a little bit about, we've got the peacock, we've got, you know, let's just talk a little bit about what's there now and then what's going to be shifting.
Sure. Well, the Peacock and the Lightship Columbia are our two outdoor displays. Peacock is a static display, meaning you can't go aboard it. It's on a pedestal, but it's a great part of our Columbia River maritime history. Lightship Columbia is a visitor attraction that you can board. You can go below decks. We've spent quite a bit of volunteer time and effort, as well as paid shipyard time over the last several years to make the Lightship Columbia more accessible. By that, I mean, we've opened up the engine room. We've opened up a number of the machinery spaces. These are parts of the ship that had always been closed off and invisible to the public. Now you either can go in them, or at the minimum, we've removed doors and put plexiglass so that you can look into these spaces. So those are our outdoor exhibits. And then on the inside of the museum, we have a significant commercial fishing history area. We have 3 commercial fishing boats, starting with a sailing Gilmetter, which of course is a big part of Astoria's history. We also have a couple of Coast Guard motor lifeboats representing that part of our maritime heritage. We have, you mentioned our new indigenous exhibits. We have Cedar and Sea, which is an exploration by indigenous artists of their culture and many tribes, probably about 20 different tribes represented in the entire Pacific Northwest. And we went out of our way to ensure that, you know, we're letting our tribal artists tell the story. So we have what we call knowledge giver videos, where well-known artists from various different tribes talk about their art, they demonstrate their art, and with a little bit of the heritage and history of where it came from, but also how it's used today and how it affects culture as lived by indigenous people today, in their words. And we also have the Chinook Indian Nation exhibit, This Is Our Place, which is really, it's the words and images of the Chinook Indian Nation presented by us in the museum. And it fills a huge gap in what had been our programming before, where we had very little coverage of the maritime heritage and history that existed, you know, before the first European explorers came. So we've been very pleased with how the public has received those exhibits.
Where are you in the timeline of these projects that are going on? Well, obviously Mariners Hall, but there are some other things that are happening, some other outdoor exhibits, I understand. So tell us a little bit about where you are at the moment.
Sure. Well, the most public recent event here was the delivery of the fireboat David Campbell. David Campbell was a fireboat that served the Portland Fire and Rescue from 1927 until about 2021. It was retired about 5 years ago. It's a part of maritime heritage we've never captured before, firefighting. It's a working boat, which is important. It's a riveted hull vessel, and that will be displayed just opposite the Peacock, next to our mini boat or our model boat pond in front of the Barbie Center. And that will be open to the public for tours when it's manned by our docents. And it'll be later this year when that's open. Once we delivered the boat, we've put our attention back to Mariners Hall. We're on a very accelerated timeline to get Mariners Hall complete. We're simultaneously finishing the construction of the building, installing exhibits, and completing the design and content development for some of the other exhibits. It's all happening simultaneously and very fast. But we do plan to be open to the public on November the 20th. So just a few months away. And as you know, I was a little late getting logged on this morning because we had a sudden meeting of contractors in Mariners Hall to decide about 10 different things that needed decision this morning. And that's how fast things are moving. But we will be open to the public on November 20. We're very excited about that.
Yeah, and maybe people don't realize that you have ongoing things, shifting things all the time happening there for sure. Like you have the 3D theater, and you have classes and events that are going on. So if people aren't aware, there is the Barbie Center as well. So talk a little bit about what the Barbie Center does.
Yeah, the Barbie Maritime Center is the former Astoria Railroad Depot that was built in the 1920s. It had been abandoned by the railroad, and the museum accepted a gift of it in its dilapidated state. And we raised about $1.8 million around 2013 to completely renovate the railroad depot into what is now the Barbie Center, which is used by the museum for educational programs, for classes. It's used by the public. The Admiral's reception, which is a part of the regatta annually, will be at the Barbie Center tomorrow night, so people can come to that and see the inside. We also have a workshop over there, so we do lots of adult education, youth education, and then community events in the Barbie Maritime Center. And of course, in front of this Barbie Center is the model boat pond, which we opened in 2021, and that is a place where we can do classroom events with kids with model boats, but also most of the time it's just open to the public. Essentially, it's a community park that we built, and the public is welcome to come use it at no cost and bring their model boats. And we see people out there quite frequently, adults and kids alike, with remote control boats, having a great time.
Whenever I have taken visitors from out of town or people who've never been there before, they are astounded by, the exhibits, the history, the hands-on, obviously the Graveyard of the Pacific, learning about shipwrecks. It's just so rich. There's so much there that people aren't aware of.
Yeah, we're all connected to the maritime world, and a lot of people don't realize, if they don't have a family member that works in maritime industry, they might not realize how maritime is part of their everyday life. But you only have to look at the ships going by on the river every day, the container ships with, coming in with thousands of containers that end up stocking the shelves on stores that most of our community members shop at. When you fill up your gas tank at the gas station here in town, there's a good chance that petroleum product came up the Columbia River on a tank barge. And, our farmers in the Midwest and upper Midwest, they're able to sell their crops because they're loaded in grain terminals in Kalama or Vancouver or Portland or Longview and shipped over to Asia. It's every day our economy is shaped significantly by the maritime world. And we see it go by our riverfront every day, even if we don't know what's on those ships. It's all part of our regional economy.
Yes, indeed. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're talking with Bruce Jones. He is the executive director of the Columbia River Maritime Museum, which is nearing completion. They're going to be opening in November, Mariners Hall, a brand new expansive interactive space. And let's talk, Bruce, a little bit about how you were able to get funding for this expansion. And obviously, memberships are really important to you.
Memberships are extremely important. Now, our annual revenue is over 60% visitor revenue. That means that it's tickets bought at the door. It's our 3D film. It's store sales. So We get very little, if any, governmental funding. We were able to get a $700,000 grant from the state of Oregon for the Mariners Hall project. It's a $34 million project, so that represents just a few percent of the overall budget. But donations allow us to do our educational programs that we do throughout the region. Our Museum in the Schools program, this year we set a record. The school year that just ended, we educated 11,000 students throughout the Northwest Oregon and Southwest Washington. That's about 400 classroom presentations. And we're able to do that because of the donations we get through membership, through admissions, and just through general fund donations. We were able to do the Mariners Hall project because we have a lot of very, very generous donors. We back in February, we had 180 donors, individual donors for Mariners Hall, and we set a goal of 250 by 250. So the 250 donors by the 250th anniversary of our country, and we're actually up to about 254 discrete donors who have contributed to Mariners Hall. So these are, we're able to do this project because of foundations and because of just generous individuals who believe in the arts, who believe in museums, who believe in education, who believe in the programs that we offer the community. And as you mentioned, you know, this is Mariners Hall will be a world class. It will be one of the best maritime museums in the world. And to have that in the town of 10,000 people in a rural county, Clatsop County, is really quite astounding. And it just speaks to the commitment of people in our region to education and to culture, because the museum is a big part of our local culture.
Absolutely. And I think people are hungry for history, hungry for sense of place, to try to understand, where am I? How do I relate to this place? What's happening here? What's been happening here?
Well, and it's really exciting that in Mariners Hall, we're going to offer people the opportunity to not only see, but touch things up close with hands-on displays. And even a couple of the boats that we're able to let people go on in Mariners Hall, which is very unusual for a maritime museum. But we want, you know, we are resisting the idea that everyone now wants to sit and look at a screen. No, we know from the experiences our visitors have in the museum every day that they relish the opportunity to see the real thing and to touch the real thing. So we will allow people the opportunity to go into the wheelhouse of the Duke. Duke is a famous salmon cannery tender that was built right here in Astoria in 1902 at Wilson Brothers Shipyard. And it was operating on the Columbia River until 2014. It's a wooden boat that reflects the craftsmanship and boat building heritage of Astoria. And people are going to be able to go into the wheelhouse. You can still smell the diesel. You can practically smell the fish. And we're going to let people walk aboard the Triumph, which is a very famous 52-foot motor lifeboat that served at Cape Disappointment for 60 years from 1961 to 2021. You're going to be able to walk the decks of the Triumph. We have a log bronc. A log bronc is a very unusual boat that was used to corral logs on the river and get them into the mill pond. And you're going to be able to go aboard the log bronc. And that's a boat that makes the connection between the maritime aspect of our local history and heritage and the forest products or logging industry, because that was a direct connection. A lot of times the logs were transported down the river. We had log rafts that went from the Columbia River to San Francisco to rebuild the community in San Francisco after the earthquake in 1906. So that connection between logging and maritime, that's one that we're going to make for people in Mariners Hall.
That's exciting. And, you know, I have always wished, and I used to tell Robert Jacob, Jake, who made a huge positive difference in Astoria over his many, many years and projects, where can we have some sort of, I don't know, aquarium, so where you can see a live salmon, where you could, you know, I would love to have something like that. Actually, at Fish and Wildlife in Boise, Idaho, they actually have a display with, so that you can see live salmon swimming, because that's, you know, salmon canning capital of the world. That would be something that would be really cool.
That would be. We're not going to have any live fish in Mariners Hall, but we do continue to honor our fishing heritage with the Duke. We also have Andy Joe, which is a boat that operated in Pacific City. So the Pacific City Dory Fleet, that's a unique fishery in the Pacific Northwest in Northwest Oregon. And this dory was used to launch through the surf from the beach because they didn't have a harbor there. So they still do it today, of course, with motorized boats. This is a oar-powered boat that we're going to display. So yeah, we're going to touch on commercial fishing, the Coast Guard, recreational boating is something that, believe it or not, we don't have anything at Columbia River Maritime Museum about recreational boating, and that's a huge part of our maritime heritage. So we have an Axtel speedboat. Axtel is a company that operated just upriver in Kelso. They built speedboats in the 1940s and 50s in Kelso. They're very well liked. Tollycraft is another brand of boats that was built just upriver in Kelso. And we have a Tollycraft that'll be on display. We also have from a boat built by a famous Astoria boat builder, Joe Dyer, we have the Merrimack. The Merrimack was a yacht built in 1938 by Joe Dyer, and it's been operated on the Columbia River, both in Astoria and in Portland on the Willamette River since 1936, when that 45-foot yacht was built. So there's another example of Astoria boat building heritage and maritime heritage that we'll put on display. So really a really wide variety of displays and types of vessels that'll be in Mariners Hall. We have a George Pocock Rayfoot 8-person shell that won the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. And we have a model, not the one that won the gold, but we have one of his boats, the same exact type of boat that will be displayed in Mariners Hall.
Well, that's terrific. I am really excited about more Indigenous representation, Bruce, too. That's so important.
Right. And we do have, we are able to put on some of the additional items of Chinook heritage that we have that we didn't have room for in the current building with the current display. We're going to add those in Mariners Hall. We're working with the Chinook Indian Nation on that. So yeah, we'll continue to highlight that very important part of our maritime heritage and ongoing maritime tradition.
And I really want to encourage people to go to the website because there are upcoming events and classes. Like, we should talk about the Art Ahoy Summer Camp. August 17th, that starts. There are lots of, on the website, you can find out. Let's talk just a teeny bit about some of the upcoming events for the public.
Yeah, so I don't have my schedule right in front of me, but we, every week, we have different programs in the museum. We have adult education classes. We have programs offered just for kids, especially in the summer. So if you go to our website, you can find all those, crmm.org. You can also find out membership information. We'd love to have you be a member of CRMM. Honestly, if you're going to visit 1.5 or 2 times a year, it makes more sense just to be a member. I think people will find when they come in Mariners Hall that they need more than a day to see everything. And so get a membership and come back as often as you like. I didn't mention that we have for the first time ever in Mariners Hall, we have a young child play area. So we're having a boat made that is just for kids to climb on and fall off of without getting hurt. We have building blocks. So it's an area that we designed specifically so that caregivers for young children, whether they're parents or grandparents, if it's winter in Astoria, it's been rainy, and there's really not that much, there aren't that many indoor activities for children in Astoria. Here's an opportunity to become a member and come as often as you like and let your kids play in the young kid play area and do the interactive STEM exhibits.
Oh, that's terrific, Bruce. Excellent. Well, we just have a few minutes left. What have we not spoken about? What would you like to let the listening audience know in these last few minutes? Obviously, we are so fortunate to have Columbia River Maritime Museum in Astoria and all the other museums. I mean, we're really becoming a destination for a museum destination, I think.
Well, I think so. I'm excited about the Oregon Film Museum. I think they're going to start construction possibly next year. I think that we really will complement each other, bringing more people to the community for cultural tourism. But we're here for the community, and our education programs really highlight that you know, well over 10,000 kids a year educated either here in the museum or in the school system. It's so important to us preserving our maritime heritage, the things that made Astoria what it is today, and then putting them on display for the public is very important to us. We are here to offer activities that appeal to everyone, and we're very explicitly not trying to appeal just to people that like boats. When you come in Mariners Hall, even if you don't care a whit about boats. You will be thrilled with what you see. You'll learn a lot. You'll be engaged. You'll be engaged with that human element, the mariners' stories that we're going to tell. So we're happy that we are able to bring a stunningly beautiful architectural structure to Astoria. When people come inside the building, they truly will be stunned at the architecture using Pacific Northwest Douglas fir, domestic Douglas fir. That was actually the beams were created in Eugene, Oregon. So I think that's important as well. But we ask people to consider becoming a member so you can come as often as you like. If you haven't been in the museum lately, come on back because we have many new displays just in the last few years. Come back now before November 20 and then come again when Mariners Hall opens.
Oh, Bruce, thank you. You're so busy now with these final stages of all these projects. Thank you for making time to be on the program today.
Thank you, Donna, for having me, and thank you for letting me talk about Columbia River Maritime Museum.
Absolutely. So again, the website is crmm.org, and I can't recommend it highly enough. Find out a way that you can be involved with your family, your friends, learn something about this region and enrich your mind, your body, and actually, I think it enriches our spirits. Thank you for everything you're doing there, Bruce. Thank you so much, Viri, who is our marvelous engineer today. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin, who now works at the Columbia River Maritime Museum as a beloved staff member there. He composed the original theme music for Talk of Our Towns, which airs the first Thursday of each month. And so now let's just take a moment before the end of the program to take a deep breath together to slow ourselves down in a very fast-moving world and just center ourselves for a moment. And then focus on the things that are going well in your life with gratitude. There will always be things that aren't going well, but let's focus on the things we can be grateful for. And then give yourself a loving hug or a compassionate pat on the back for being uniquely you, for being here now, in the only moment that exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.
Support for this program comes in part from Our Coast Weekend, your source for arts and entertainment news in the Columbia Pacific. Published weekly in the Wednesday Chinook Observer, the Thursday Astorian, and online at discoveroucoast.com.
You just listened to Talk of Our Towns on KMUN. Coming up next at 9:30, an archived episode of a story told from 2024. Today Explained begins at noon. You're listening to KMUN. Thank you.